This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our mission is to teach you what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. Now, the goal here is for you to become totally debt-free and continue to live a debt-free life. Check out our small group Bible study at compasscatholic.org. Click on Books and Studies and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. If you like what you see and you feel that this would be perfect for you and your wife, you and your husband, just perfect for you, fill out the contact form and we'll be back in touch. Also, to let you know that we now are making this class available online. So when you fill out the contact form and you like more information about an online version to our class, just put that in your comments section. Again, the web address is compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. You know, a large part of our nine-week Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, will show you how to deal with debt. And that's what we would like to discuss today. But the approach we want to take is the spiritual cost of your debt.
You know, John, it never fails to amaze me how many Americans are having close calls with too many bills and not enough money. You know, we think of the United States as being very affluent, but out-of-control debt is kind of a quiet monster in our country.
It's great as long as there's no emergencies or job layoffs or unexpected expenses. Over half Americans cannot pay cash for an unexpected $400 expense, a bill that comes in that's as small as $400. Now, I agree that maybe that's not a small bill, but it's not like it's $1,000 or $1,500 or something like that. $400.
So when that hits, they put it on their credit card. And if you take that one small expense that adds up to all the monthly credit card spending, pretty soon it can spiral out of control and people are into debt over their heads.
We are discovering in today's world something that Sirach talked about 200 years before Christ. You know, he lived in Jerusalem, and they had all of the trade and the travelers. And what Sirach realized is that a man may buy much for little, but pay for it seven times over. It's debt. That's what he's talking about, is debt. It's a quiet monster that comes in the form of unpaid cars sitting in the garage. It comes in the form of college graduates wrestling with big student loans to pay off. You know, some of them get loans that are as much as $150,000 or $200,000. And they end up with a pile of credit card debt also. It also comes in the form of empty pantries and refrigerators for the minimum wage worker who can't make the rent and even put food on the table too.
And there's also retirees who can't make ends meet because they didn't save enough money when they were working. So this is a big beast that most Americans aren't aware of, and it keeps growing, which is really bad. In round numbers, according to the Motley Fool, the average American with credit card debt carries a balance of about $16,000. Now, that's for people with credit card debt, because there are a lot of people that don't have any credit card debt.
Okay.
So it's not average across all Americans.
All right.
Just the average of people that have credit card debt. The average mortgage is $190,000.
Wow, that's high. I didn't think it was that high.
I didn't think it was either. I looked it up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Student loan average is $20,000.
And that seems low.
And that seems a little bit low.
Yeah, yeah.
And the average car loan is $31,000.
Yeah, that's, well, you can't hardly buy a car for under $30,000 anymore unless you're getting a real little tiny one. And if you got five kids or four kids, you're not going to get them in one of those little tiny cars, at least not the whole family together. That's an awful lot of money to owe. If you've got one car, that totals up to be about $257,000. And if you got two cars, it's $285,000 to $290,000 of debt. And that debt just keeps growing. And, you know, it's a money problem. But, and here's a real kicker, it can become a spiritual problem. because we are being dragged into slavery by the lenders. In Proverbs 22:7, it says that the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender.
You know, we've worked with so many couples, and having that mountain of debt that they can't pay makes people feel isolated and embarrassed and alone. You know, they may have creditors calling them day after day.
So if you really want to feel like you're loved and wanted, go deep into debt, because you're going to get somebody to call you every single day.
But all that stress eats away at the peace of mind, and it results in divorce or health problems, depression, powerlessness. You know, it's just really not good to live that way, because it puts so much pressure on your day-to-day life.
You know, and you were talking about the internal stress that people feel. It's really sad, but, you know, I was riding in the car over the weekend with my 16-year-old grandson, and he was telling me about all the stress that he feels. Part of it is from money. Part of it is from being a teenager and all the social interactions that they have. But he says, well, you know, I can hide my feelings, but when I do that, it just tears my insides up. And, you know, if a 16-year-old realizes that, what's happening to our world when a 16-year-old has already figured that kind of stuff out?
One of the most amazing things about America's difficulty with debt is the kind of people that fall into the pit of debt. We usually think of the people being in debt as those who don't make enough money to even survive minimally. But as we can attest, because we've worked with so many different couples over the years, a lot of times it's the people with a six-figure income that are in the worst shape.
Yeah, because they think, well, we make plenty of money, so we can spend plenty of money. And they don't keep track of it, not even to the extent of balancing their credit cards or balancing their checkbook, you know. And you need to do both of those. You may laugh at me when I say balance your credit cards, but you should do that every month when you get your statement. Because what happens if somebody has charged something and it got onto your number incorrectly?
Oh, John, the credit card companies never make an error.
Really?
Right, Steve?
Absolutely. You know, John, you mentioned about people with six-figure salaries. It's not so much that they feel they make a lot of money and they can spend a lot of money, but they also have the attitude is, I can get out of debt anytime I want because I make a lot of money. But
that's
we have found with people who make a lot of money, whether it's six figures or not, but if they make a lot of money, they are into a habit now that they can't get out of. I want to spend.
Yes, yes.
And it's not that tightrope that many people who are on the lower end of the income spectrum walk.
Right.
You know, when if you have a certain amount of money and you need that to feed your family or pay for your housing, you're kind of on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a lot and you can afford that disposable income, then it's easy to just keep disposing of it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Bad habits just feed off of that.
That's right. Very good.
So people run up their credit cards month by month. And in the short term, as we've been talking about, there really isn't too much pain until the interest rates start jumping because they've failed to make the minimum payment and the late fees hammer them. And suddenly monthly payments, they don't even touch the principal. It's just paying interest. And we've worked with two families over the last 30 days that both of them have had late fees and NSF types of things, bank fees and credit card fees, to the tune of almost $1,000 a month.
And that's a lot of money to be thrown away every month.
That's a lot of money.
You know, a lot of people are just a paycheck away from a major financial catastrophe. And there's really no common thread to those people who get into financial trouble. Because if you don't pay attention to where the money's going, it's going to easily happen to you. And it usually happens through a job loss or illness or an unexpected pregnancy or something like that. It's a huge emergency that you're not anticipating, obviously. But it just happens, and people all of a sudden are in this hole they can't get out of.
And you know what, Evelyn? It doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Baptist or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. There is no delta between your spiritual denomination. We are all equal opportunity offenders.
So there's no difference among denominations, nor is there any difference among churched and non-church people.
That's true. We like spending more than we make.
It's the American way, John.
Yeah.
You know, the bad thing is that a lot of churches never talk about personal finances unless there's a need for increased giving. And there's so much that people can learn from the Bible about managing finance as well. Because the spiritual debt, the spiritual impact of debt is really, really clear.
Yes, it is. And, you know, if they're in trouble with money, so they've got anxiety all the time. And people get exhausted. They have to work extra jobs and long hours to pay off this debt. And then if a child gets sick or the mother gets pregnant, the roof gets a leak, you know, life happens. And that just makes everything even worse. If anyone has a tendency towards depression, then that's going to come out because of all the stress associated with all the debt, associated with all of the spending, you know, trying to, not only just because you want more, and, you know, everybody wants more for the most part, but everybody's trying to find that sense of happiness. And, you know, money just doesn't solve that problem. If you don't have any, you might think, oh, if I only had another $50 or $100 or $250 a month, boy, would I be happy. But money doesn't give you happiness. It's within yourself. It's within being within God and looking to God and having God as your number one focus, not on more money or more stuff. That's what's important.
You know, we heard the story from one young couple about buying a $300 lawnmower. That's how their decline started. They were young and they were married in their first house, and they went to the store and bought a lawnmower and paid for it with a credit card. No problem there, right?
$300, no big deal.
But then when they moved into their first house, they needed more tools and more things for the house, and they put those on the credit card. And then there were problems with a contractor building their house, so they had to rent a place unexpectedly for a while. And they put that on the credit card. And before they knew it, they were $75,000 in debt just from that little bit over and over and over and over again.
Ruh-roh.
That goes back to the bad habits.
Yeah.
You depend too much on a credit card.
You're just not paying attention, and all of a sudden, it's out of control, and you don't even realize it.
Well, and we think that we're entitled. You know, we have this entitlement attitude or philosophy that, well, yeah, this is just a minor setback. You know, I really deserve to have all this stuff, so I'm just going to go ahead and get it anyway. And then they get themselves, like this couple, into a hole that is so deep that it's going to take years to dig out of.
We are working with a person you mentioned earlier about paying just the interest. The biggest complaint we hear from her is, how come my balance doesn't go down? And I say, because you're only paying the smallest amount possible. And it's going to go down just trickles and trickles and trickles.
Minimum, especially if you're paying less than the interest charges.
And that's about what she's paying.
If you have a huge debt, that interest charge adds up big time.
So if you eliminate debt, you can free up people from not having to live under the gun and in the, you know, it's just get rid of the debt. Don't do it in the first place.
You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the biblical principles of handling money, from savings to giving to ridding yourself of all of your debt, no matter how small, no matter how large your debt may be. Stay focused, stay true to these principles, and I guarantee you, you will be debt-free. You can learn more at compasscatholic.org. Today, John and Evelyn Bean are leading a discussion on this spiritual cost of debt. So, John, why do you think people just spend their hard-earned money?
It just doesn't make any sense. Now, you know, you have to admit that some people go into debt because they might lose their job, or they have an illness, or there's a car accident and the car gets totaled, and then they got to provide themselves with some new transportation. But You know, there's an awful lot of people that are buying things they can't afford with money they don't have.
You know, I think at some level there's a spiritual implication to that, and why people overspend has a spiritual impact. What need the shopping fulfill in them? And will they ever reach a point where they feel like enough is enough? There's some hole there that they're trying to fill that I don't think will ever be filled by buying more stuff.
And if we keep spending and spending and spending, and if we can't afford it, it's going to develop into, and probably already is, a huge spiritual issue. It means we don't trust God to provide for us, to provide that happiness that we keep spending to try to find. If we trust in God, we don't need all that stuff. It's just really pretty simple. We need, you know, remember, and we've talked about Paul before and what a great guy he was, but you remember in Philippians, he told us that he had to learn to be content. There aren't any of us that are any better than Paul. And so we need to learn to be content also. It's just one of the things that we've got to adapt to. There's a zillion things out there to buy. It used to be if you go on a picnic, you'd get out an old bedspread or an old blanket and throw it in the back of the car and you'd go out for your picnic. Now you can buy these special tufted picnic blankets that are color coordinated with the picnic basket that's on wheels and the matching plastic plates and the goblets and with a bin to store them all neatly in.
Where do I buy that?
We don't know. We don't shop at those stores.
But you know what?
No,
even
what
with all
about.
That kind of stuff, yeah. Steve, you're still going to get ants. They're coming.
It's not a picnic if you don't have ants. But you know, here's a great line that kind of sums up what you just said, John. Just because some company decides to make a product doesn't mean we have to buy it. But everything in our culture tells us that if that product is out there and other people are buying it, you need it too. Right, Steve?
Oh, 100% I'm with you on that. You can't help, forget watching television or listening to radio, just driving down the street and seeing all the billboards or signage. Somebody's trying to get you to come into the store and offering something that they feel is compelling that you really need.
And that's the clue. You don't really need
exactly.
It, but they're making you need it. Well, what cracks me up is all the commercials, and you can't even tell what the product is they're selling because it's all about sex and importance.
Oh, it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
No, they don't get into the meat of it, especially cars. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, John, you came up with a quote from Pope St. John Paul II about consumerism. Didn't you find one somewhere?
Yeah. He, in a homily he did back in 1998, he described consumerism as a false antidote to spiritual emptiness. He said, Christ alone can free us from what enslaves us to evil and selfishness, from the frantic search for material possessions, from the thirst for power and control over others and over things, from the illusion of easy success, from the frenzy of consumerism and hedonism, which ultimately destroy the human being.
You know, I like that frantic search for material possessions because consumerism can be just as much of an addiction as alcoholism or drug abuse.
Yes.
Some people are so addicted to buying things that it just consumes them and they can't see their way free from it.
Exactly. And, you know, Christians should understand that the way we spend our money is an expression of our faith. We spend our money, our time, and our thoughts on the things that are most important to us. And the question you have to ask, where are your priorities?
Mm-hmm. You know, I would encourage our listeners to think about the past 2 weeks and write down where you spent your time, where you spent your money, and where you spent your thoughts. And that will show you what your priorities are.
Let me ask this, and Evelyn, I've heard you say this in past shows, that when you and John make purchases, you don't just make it right there. You have kind of a wait period before you actually make the purchase.
We don't buy things on...
the spare of the moment.
Yeah. What's it called? I can't think of the word.
Because we don't do that.
Impulse.
Impulse buy.
We're not, yeah, there we go. We're not impulse buyers.
Sounds like how many syllables. But I thought I heard you say at one point that you and John will wait. You don't just make the purchase right there. You think about it. You pray about it.
Well, if we're going to make a big purchase, mm-hmm. we know what we're looking for. We know the price we want to pay. We know the parameters around which we want to spend the money. So it's not
and
like
we know how much money we've got to spend.
So it's not like we're out shopping and all of a sudden we see a new table and chairs that we want to buy for the house and we just buy it and bring it home.
So what do you say to the people who are impulse buyers that you're coaching, that you're mentoring? What how do you advise them to handle those situations? They see something, I want that.
Well, a lot of people we encourage to pray before they make a purchase. Now, there's certain things that you need to think about when you talk to somebody like that because people are not used to praying about right. purchases. And you're not going to pray about buying a gallon of milk. But if you're buying a new car or you're buying a new house or you're thinking about moving.
Or the new TV or new
TV
smartphone.
Furniture. Right. You know, it's important to really slow down, understand why you're buying it, what you're looking for, and then pray about it before you actually buy it. Do you have anything?
Yeah, well, you know, there's something we learned years and years and years and years ago, and it's the old Franklin tea. You know, you make a tea, and you put the good stuff on one side and the bad stuff on the other side.
And pros and cons.
Pros and cons, and you just write them, list them. You know, you're not creating judgments. You just say, well, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And it gives you a scale to weigh, you know, the decision against. Do we want to do this or do we not want to do this? What are the benefits of making this purchase, or what are the benefits for just, you know, not doing it, putting our wallet back in our pocket and walking away?
So it's like advantages or disadvantages of whatever decision we're trying to make.
Absolutely. And we should remember that how we spend our money is an indication of how we integrate our faith into every aspect of our life. People need to stop bowing to the consumer mentality in our country and determine the difference between needs and wants. Getting out of debt means intentionally deciding not to define your identity based on what you own.
But, you know, the culture tells us that we can only be happy or fulfilled or powerful if we buy the latest and greatest, whatever the heck it is.
Well, and look what that's gotten. What, you know, look at culture. Culture is falling apart. It changes. About every 6 weeks, culture changes. You can't change your debt that fast. I guarantee you that. The church needs to step in. The church has all but completely failed to do any preaching of the gospel regarding the need for fiscal awareness of our personal finances. And that's not to say that spending is inherently wrong, or treating oneself to some nice things is always bad. That's not what we're saying. But how much you buy depends on how much you can afford. And that is a reflection of your values.
Yeah, too many times people buy based on what their credit limit is, not based on what they can afford or what they need. It's all about doing something to get something. So it's amazing how we can really be content and live a very simple lifestyle if only we would take the time to do it.
The Bible speaks frequently about money and wealth in the Old Testament, and about the oppression of the poor and the need for justice. And in the New Testament, to say that wealth and riches are subordinate to the reign of God. Jesus tells us a parable about a man who was very rich and he had a great harvest. He didn't have enough space in his barns, so he takes down the barns and builds bigger ones. That evening, the man dies. It just shows the futility of it all. And the reason was he was focused on himself. He was focused on all of his wealth for himself. The coming reign of God forces people to review their values. You know, are we serving lenders or are we serving the Lord?
You know, as you read through scriptures, you can apply it to how in debt you are, and you realize that you may be serving your lenders, not your Lord. And a lot of people we've talked to, many of them, most of them Catholics, who've dragged their way out of debt, say that not owing money gives them a sense of freedom and joy and gratitude. They live out their understanding that everything they have comes from God. And with that understanding comes thankfulness and generosity.
Everything that we have, including our money and our possessions, is God's, not ours. As Paul reiterated in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, it is God who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. When you realize this, it suddenly becomes a lot easier to get away from the grasp of consumerism. Too many times, the only time the church talks about money is during the annual pledge, a giving campaign, or when the budget is not being met. But rarely do we get any guidance at all about responsible spending from the pulpit.
So the bottom line is, stuff is never going to make us happy for long, because once you get the next best thing, some other next best thing comes along. And debt can be avoided when you make conscious choices and decisions about your lifestyle, because money's never going to solve financial problems unless you learn to manage money God's way.
Catholic churches need to start talking about values-based spending and helping families, especially young families, escape the overwhelming consumerism that just pervades our society. We should remember that debt is bad, saving is good, giving is fun, and stuff is meaningless.
I love that. Debt is bad, savings is good, giving is fun, and stuff is meaningless. Just to let you know that we've made the bullet points available from today's podcast, simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on Podcast Summary. We also post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning, and you'll find that also at compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.